One of the mantles that we need in moving forward into war is a mantle of joy. That seems kind of anti what you think of with warfare, doesn't it? But we've got to be mantled with joy. We've got to be filled with joy. And we're primarily, I mean, I know us, we're warriors. That's who we are. And one of the problems with being a warrior is a lot of times we get so focused that we can get caught into the tragedy and the dangers of the war and into the trials and the tribulations, because we see it, we feel it, right? But the scriptures say that we are to count it all joy. Say, count it all joy. So I want to talk to us about counting it all joy today. That no matter what's coming, this, I want you to apply this personally, but I also want you to apply it as we walk through the days that our nation are walking into. We'll start in James 1:2. My fellow believers, when it seems as though you are facing nothing but difficulties, see it as an invaluable opportunity to experience the greatest joy that you can. For you know that when your faith is tested, it stirs up in you the power of endurance. And then as your endurance grows even stronger, it will release perfection into every part of your being until there is nothing missing and nothing lacking. Now understand, the word perfection isn't sinless perfection, it is maturity. Okay? So let's reread that part. It will release maturity into every part of your being until there is nothing missing and nothing lacking. How many of you feel like there's something missing and something lacking? We're not quite there, but it is the test in the trials as we face them with joy. It produces an endurance in us because you know the reason why we don't make it through is we shrink back. We got to break off that shrink back thing. You know, psychology teaches you that there is a fight or a flight. Far too many Christians have the flight down good. Well, it's the truth. It gets a little rough, and we go, well, I'm just going to go into my quiet place with the Lord, and I'm going to go into worship, and I'm just going to hide myself over Him. Whether you're out there or there, you're not hidden. You're hidden in a protected place, but you're not isolated from the war. You may deceive yourself into it, but it's costing you something that when it's all said and done, you're not going to be very happy that you lost it. We're losing freedoms on our left and right, folks, while we've been inside the four walls having a love on Jesus party. I know that doesn't sound very nice. It's not your typical Mother's Day message. But imagine me giving a typical Mother's Day message. But mothers, I am going to say this to you. Part of our role is to raise up warriors. Verse 5, and if anyone longs to be wise, ask God for wisdom and He will give it. He won't see your lack of wisdom as an opportunity to scold you. Can somebody say hallelujah on that? He doesn't take it as an opportunity to scold you over your failures, but He will overwhelm your failures with His generous grace. Isn't that amazing? What a good God. Just make sure you ask empowered by confident faith without doubting that you will receive. Let me rephrase that. Don't ask whining. Break off the whining, begging prayers out of your life. Break it out of you, uproot it, tear it down. Go into the boxing ring if you have to with your own soul and box it out of yourself. Stop it. It's time for you to know that your God is God of all the universe. He bought you with a price, and he says, boldly come into my throne. Don't come in like, well, God, would you please give me some wisdom? Guess what? If you ask that way, you're not going to get it. You won't get it. Make sure you ask, empowered by confident faith, without doubting that you will receive. For the ambivalent person believes one minute and doubts the next. Ouch. Being undecided makes you become like the rough seas, driven and tossed by the wind. You're up one minute and tossed down the next. Anytime you find your emotions up here and then down here, what this is saying is you're not fully fixed. You're unstable. You're double-minded. You're thinking, well, God's got this. Well, maybe not. And we all can go there, folks. We can all go there. Circumstances press us until we feel like we cannot breathe. And in that moment when you feel like you can't breathe, you have to press in and say, God, I know your word is true. My circumstances stink. I don't know what to do with the battle that's at hand, but I know that you are a God that you cannot lie, and you're my God. And I'm going to stay right here pressing into you and building up bold, confident faith. I'm going to praise my way through to victory. I'm going to praise until my words and my heart match each other. Because sometimes you just have to start praising. Sometimes you just have to start declaring and decreeing who God is, regardless of how you feel. Because what happens if you are led by your feelings or led by your thoughts? You get tossed about like this. And one minute you're full of faith and vigor and going and, wow, yeah, we can conquer the world. And the next minute, I don't know. I just don't know if I'm going to make it. Come on. Get into a place and praise until it takes over. Verses 7 and 8. When you are half-hearted and wavering, it leaves you unstable. Can you really expect to receive anything from the Lord when you're in that condition? I'm grateful that the Lord meets us where we are. But I am speaking today as though I am speaking to those who have been matured and are hungry to be matured. That those who are not looking for a nice, cozy place to be. That you've gotten a glimpse of who God is, and you've given him everything. That he's captured your heart in such a way that everything else fades. Everything else falls away. That you're no longer in the words of an old hymn that said, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. I'm going to tell you, if that wanders around in your soul, break it off. I grew up singing that song. I love the melody, but the words struck me. And I went, wait a minute, I am not going to decree that over myself ever again. Because see, what you speak over yourself is what you end up believing. As a man thinks, so is he. Songs get into your being. That is a theology that needs to be trampled underfoot. We serve a victorious God, not a defeated one. So let's look at this. We are to be tried and tested. Everybody says, hallelujah. We love that, right? I mean, how many of us like to be tried and tested? But God says, you're going to get tried and tested. I'm taking you into a place. I'm allowing you to go. And yes, things are going to come. And I cause all things to work together for your good. I cause the trying and the testing to produce something in you that you will never get to if you are not tried and tested. See, you have to understand, rightly understand, the tests and the trials that are at hand. Oftentimes, what we do when difficulties come our way, we immediately jump to the conclusion that it's all the devil and we're under attack. Maybe you are. But here's the deal, is even if you're under attack, if you're living surrendered to the Lord, the attack can't get to you unless God says, test them. Western Christianity doesn't like that, I'll just tell you. Because we think we're supposed to be immune. But see, the sooner you embrace that attack, that test with faith that you're going to stand and you're not going to let it take you out, the sooner the enemy flees seven ways. But see, we've got to learn how to surrender and resist. See, we don't even surrender real well. Come on, let's get real. When God tells you to do something and it's not to your liking, or it's an area that you don't enjoy doing, and you go, well, I'm not sure that's God. I think I'm going to get another confirmation over here. And you go to a friend and they tell you, well, I don't think that's God because that's too risky. Or I don't think that's God because, well, I've never seen you do that before. And yet God keeps pressing. And you go, well, I'm just resisting that because that's not God. But it actually is God, and we just misunderstood the test. Is that making sense? We have to rightly understand, what is the test? It's not why the test is God. What are you doing in the test? What are you looking to produce in me in this test? What is it that I need to rise up in? How do I need to move in this test? So you need to rightly understand the test. And then you have to learn how to properly respond in the test. And that requires that we tune our ear to hear the voice of the Lord. One of the first things you should do in every test is start responding in joy. It won't feel good. It won't seem like the logical response. But in all things, count it all joy. Y'all like that one, don't you? It's like, woo-hoo. But we got to understand, joy is not equal to happiness. Joy is a response out of the Spirit because we know who our God is. And because God says, the Word says that the joy of the Lord is your... So if you're facing a trial, the first response must be, God, I thank you that you've counted me worthy to face this trial. See, a lot of times we don't want to, we think the trial is coming because we did something wrong. Can I break that off of you right now? I mean, sometimes that is the case. If you've got a broad open door of sin in your life that you will refuse to repent of, yes, some of your tests are going to come because God's pressing into that place to say, have you had enough yet? But sometimes it's because he looks at us and he says, you're growing, and I have another place of growth and strength for you to step into. So this trial and this test is coming so that you may grow in even greater endurance. When you look at somebody that's really strong, they didn't get there overnight. And they didn't get there most of the time because it was their natural personality. I can tell you the bold warrior strength that I walk in today was not my natural personality at all. Like, not at all. But God, learning how to rightly understand the trials and responding properly. And then through every trial, faithfully press in. Spend time. Listen. A lot of times when we're in trials, our natural response is to just keep rehearsing the thing that's going on. Rehearsing the curse, rehearsing the problem, rehearsing. And you get so focused on what the trial is that you take your eyes off of the victorious one. So keep pressing in to the King of Glory. Keep pressing in to the marvelous God who is all in all and through all and for all. And he is in you. Press in until you know that the strength of God has come alive in you in a new way. Until you come into such a oneness with him that as you move, it's him moving in you and you with him. So the next two words, joyful and enduring. The joy of the Lord is our strength, and we can say that, but we have to learn how to embrace joy. Embrace the joy of the Lord. That means sometimes we have to intentionally give an expression of joy that we don't feel like giving. We have to shout hallelujah. We have to go. I wish I could dance and do flags like some of these girls do. I'm just telling you, my body is ready to go. Maybe if I didn't wear platforms. Anyway, no. Still wouldn't work. But you see, humor is great. It seems counterintuitive to war. But allowing the joy of the Lord to bubble up out of you and poke at yourself. Don't take yourself so seriously. It's a good way of unlocking joy. Because if you can laugh at yourself, the next thing you know, you're going to be laughing at the devil because you see how great your God is in you and you can release the sound of joy. But you have to embrace it. You can't just go, well, the joy of the Lord is my strength. No, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Let it rise up on the inside of you. And then allow those hardships to produce endurance that leads to maturity. If there's one thing that I believe our culture is lacking right now, particularly in the church, is endurance. If the job gets too hard, if the fight is too tough, we just don't have the endurance to press through. We tend to give in to the weakness that we feel. Now, I'm very grateful. My father didn't allow me to give in to the weakness that I felt. If I didn't feel like getting up on Saturday morning and washing the windows or pulling weeds, it did not matter. It didn't matter. If I didn't feel like doing my homework, it did not count for nothing. Do it. We have got to develop an endurance, a strength to press beyond the things that come at us. I mean, we have people that get all upset and go, well, I'm not staying because somebody looked at me wrong. Seriously? That's a real story from months ago. It's a real deal. Where's the endurance in that? Well, who was it? Can we deal with it? No, I'm not telling. There's no endurance. There's no faith in that. There's no love in that. There's no Christ-likeness in that. But if we get our feelings hurt, we pack our bags and go home. If we don't like the way things are going, we just move. Instead of enduring through the test and trial, if we're in a class that we can't, don't think we can pass, we just bail. Right? And God's saying, no, folks, I need you to press in with joy and allow this test to produce an endurance in you that having done all, you stand. We've got to have this in this day and hour. We have to. Because if we simply look at the natural way things are going, we would all run away into a cave somewhere. But those who are called of the Lord and filled with the joy of the Lord, allowing endurance to press into us, will not allow us to do that. We've got to have an endurance to stand and fight for our kids.
Amen.
We can't just go, well, they'll be okay. No, no. The indoctrination that is happening in our nation right now is way beyond, oh, they'll be okay. We've got to have an endurance. Parents and grandparents have to have an endurance to be willing to speak life, speak truth. Listen and give a safe place for them to tell us what's going on. And to have an ear tuned toward the Lord so that when we hear things that we don't want to hear, because you're going to hear some stuff you don't want to hear, that in that moment when you hear something, that your ear is so tuned to Holy Spirit that He can say, say this, ask this question, do it with joy. Because joy will go a whole lot further than a scolding. But you have to speak life so that maturity is produced. There is a joyful endurance God wants to produce in us. And then we have to have wisdom and stability. Wisdom, ask in faith. What is wisdom? Wisdom is taking the knowledge and then it produces into wisdom so we know what to do in the moment. See, a lot of times we have a lot of knowledge. We've got lots of knowledge of the Word. We can quote a lot of the Word. We know it. We've studied it. But if it has not been translated out of knowledge that puffs up into wisdom that knows how to respond, it just makes us puff like pufferfish. And we're not much good for anything. In fact, did you know pufferfish are poisonous? What is knowledge without wisdom? It can be very poisonous. Because it can be very religious. And it can cause a lot of damage. Rather than when you have the knowledge of the Word and allow the Spirit of God to work it into you so that through you flows rivers of wisdom. Wisdom can deliver people. Wisdom can show a pathway. Wisdom can answer the absolutely ridiculous questions that may come in the midst of your everyday living. But we have to ask in faith. Ask boldly. Solomon asked for wisdom, and you remember the story of the two mothers who brought the one baby because one baby had died. What an expression of wisdom. And so, this is such a crazy interchange because one baby's already died, and here is Solomon in wisdom. He says, okay, so kill the other one. Because he knew in wisdom that when he said, kill this one too, that the real mother would say, no, 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 I'll let her have the baby. See, I believe God's going to begin to give those who press into him asking for wisdom, he's going to give you those kind of questions, those kind of comments, those things that will absolutely turn the table on a scenario. Bernadette, I keep seeing that over you. I really feel like it's a word for you in the midst of the work you do. That there is a place for you to continue pressing in for wisdom beyond what you know, because you know the law really well. You know the whole scenario really well. But I hear God saying, if you will press into me for another level of wisdom, I will give you the questions and the comments to make that will expose the enemy and reveal the righteous. And as you ask the Lord, posture yourself to receive. Because, you know, God can give stuff that we reject. Has God ever tried to give you something that you didn't want it, so you just left it? And then down the road, you find out, oh, wait a minute, I got to get back here because I need that. Receive what God's giving you in the wisdom. Receive means you take it and you embrace it and you work it into the very fiber of who you are so that it becomes a part of your being. God wants to give us wisdom so that we live in wisdom in everything that we do. That you automatically think the wise thoughts of the Lord because you're so yielded to Holy Spirit. We need that kind of wisdom today. I don't know about you, but we need that. And in every trial that you face it with the wisdom that comes from above. The contrast of the wisdom of the world and the wisdom of God is one we need to get very well acquainted with. Because the wisdom of the world will cause all kinds of contention. It's filled with pride and arrogance. It's sensual. It draws people to itself. Rather than being peaceable and kind and bringing solutions, not divisions. The world's wisdom divides. God's wisdom brings oneness. God is wanting us to move with his wisdom. And he wants us to move in stability. Remain in faith, stable in all of your ways. How many of you want that one? I don't want to be tossed about by every wind. I don't want to be bouncing around because I'm hot one moment and I'm cold the next moment. I don't want to be lukewarm because lukewarm gets tossed all over the place. We've got to press into the Lord until we're so set, so stable in the Lord that no matter what happens, our response is one of faith. Our response is one of love. Our response is one of steadiness. That we don't allow our emotions to toss us here and there. We don't let our mind go wandering or getting tossed from one opinion or to another. Be careful what you're listening to. If you're filling your thoughts with what the world is saying, it will produce instability in you. Now, I do believe we need to listen to enough news that we know what's going on. Because otherwise, you're like an ostrich with your head down in the sand. But we don't need to be listening to everybody's opinion. Honest, I really wish news media would go back to reporting the news and not the opinions. Just tell us the facts of what's going on. Can some true journalists please arise? Because it's hard to listen to anything without getting all of this intrusion of opinions. And then you get tossed here and there. The opinion we need to be moving on is the opinion of Holy Spirit. Amen. And His is not an opinion, it's truth. Amen. But remain in faith, stable in all your ways, and allow the storms to strengthen you in your innermost being. Allow the storms to take you like an eagle, and the winds come up under your wings and soar to higher heights. Just spread out your wings and go. See, we've got to learn how to respond to the storms. Because a storm can either take you out or lift you up. It's going to do one or the other. It's highly unlikely that you'll walk through the storm and come out on the other side exactly the way you went into it. You either come through the storm and you're strengthened in a new way, or you come through the storm beaten and tattered and worn. My prayer for us is that we would be so strengthened with joy, filled with wisdom, producing an endurance that is the resulting maturity so that we're stable in all of our ways and we soar to greater heights. Because when you go into the greater heights with the Lord, you will see what He's doing. And you'll be able to see what the enemy is doing, but through the eyes of faith, not fear. Culture around us seeks to produce fear to cause us to shrink back, to cause us to sit down, to cause us to be quiet, to press us into being politically correct. But God says, through the storm, I'm producing a strength in you, an endurance in you, a maturity in you, a joy in you that no matter what comes, you will be unwavering, always abounding in the grace of the Lord, and able to be who He created you to be, warriors to advance His kingdom and see the nation turn, to see our state turned, to see our neighborhood turn. I am yearning to see a beachhead of righteousness established. And this is based on a word the Lord gave me several weeks ago, that if we would press in to see a beachhead of righteousness established, even right around here, that we would have a base out of which to take it to the rest of the state. And that's my heart cry. And I know a lot of us don't live right in this area, but God's planted us here. And it's a place where when we come together, we're being strengthened by our praise, by our worship, by the words that come forth, so that wherever we go, we carry the strength and the grace of the Lord. So would you stand with me? So, Father, today, I pray for your people that they would be strengthened in their innermost being with joy unspeakable, full of glory. That wisdom would be their portion, strengthened by the wisdom of the Lord, delivered from the wisdom of the world. Lord, that the joy and the wisdom that you have for us would become a hallmark of the characteristic of who the warriors of God are. Lord, that we would walk with you in such holy communion, so filled with faith, so filled with confidence in who you are and who you've made us to be, that we would be stable in all of our ways. not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine or tossed to and fro by the winds of adversity. But God, that you would make us to be a people strong and mighty in the power of the Holy Spirit. To know that we are bought by the blood of Jesus, that we are created for good works that were fashioned for us before we were ever formed in our mother's wombs. That we have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and we are seated in heavenly places, far above all principality, powers, rulers of darkness, and that in Christ we are safe and we are secure. That though the world rises against us, our eternity is set, our confidence is in you, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding is ours, because you are our God and we are your people. Father, I thank you for your goodness, your grace, and your mercy, and for the strength that is unshakable. We give you praise and glory and honor. And Father, once more, I thank you for all the mothers. I thank you for my mother. I thank you for all the mothers represented in this room and all of those who have trained us by being spiritual moms to us. Father, cause us to be those that will be strength for others, bringing joy, endurance, maturity, and stability to the praise and glory of your name. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Amen. We will be here on Tuesday night for our Advancing Faith. I invite you to be here. Next Friday night, we have Kent Maddox with us. Kent is from just inside Alabama, incredible man. He and his wife, Beverly, will be here for our prophetic hub. And then we'll be here on Saturday morning from 9:30 to 1, talking about the journey they've had in Alabama of bringing transformation, both in the spirit and in the natural, how they have worked with apostolic, prophetic, pastoral leaders all across the state, and they're making a difference. And that's what we're after here in the state of Georgia. So plan on being with us Friday night and Saturday, and then we'll be back here next Sunday. I bless you, and we will. Remember, we do have prayer at noon on Wednesday. God bless you all, and have a great Mother's Day.